News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
Now, bed suits suited students, single people, separated people and many others and should not have been banned in 2013. They are the words of Senator Michael McDougall in his latest column in the Irish Times. Joining us to discuss this further is Tom Phillips, Managing Director of Tom Phillips Associates and Adjunct Associate Professor of Town Planning at UCD, and the Soc Dems TD and Spokesperson on Housing, Rory Hearn. Tom, to you first. Is Michael McDougall right?
Good morning. I think he is right in, and I know Michael tends to maybe go slightly extreme in some of his comments, but I think he is right overall that his key point was that the state intervention should really focus on supply and not on banning things. And I would agree in the sense that it's not ideal, but it's better than nothing. And I suppose his key point was that the amount of displacement of people, say like Rathmines at the time when bedsits were effectively banned, there were a lot of people who lived in those places. And, you know, there's a certain cohort of different parts of the city, in Dublin in particular, and other parts of the country that were displaced. And then his argument then was saying that they brought in co-living a few years later, which is a more professional form of bedsits, he was arguing. I don't agree it's bedsits, but I would agree that you shouldn't, that in an extended period of crisis, you shouldn't ban a form of housing.
Okay.
You should
all
actually
right.
supply more.
Stay with us, Tom. I want to bring in Rory Hearn. Rory, don't let okay be the, don't let great be the enemy of okay.
I think this, you know, this discussion, to a certain extent, you know, there's no, as far as I'm aware anyway, proposal to bring back bedsits currently on the table. Now, what there is clearly a push to reduce regulation, particularly around new apartments and standards. And indeed, the housing spokesperson for Fianna Fáil has been out talking about this. The issue of bedsits, if they still existed, the likelihood is that there would be a lot of people living in them in substandard accommodation, being charged absolutely outrageous rents, you know, that essentially if bedsits still existed, you would have people who lived in them possibly being evicted to get in higher paying
tenants.
Okay,
yeah, but just can we just stick to the issue? We're limited time. Can we stick to the issue? Bedsits, should they have been banned? Was it the wrong move?
Well, we needed to improve and ensure that private rental, people living in private rental had proper standards. So we needed to ensure that people were living in safe accommodation. So absolutely at that point, they needed to be. And what we need to ensure is that changes in housing keep proper standards, because people need to have homes and affordable housing. And Tom is right in terms of its supply, but it's the type of supply we need. It's affordable housing that the state
has.
Okay,
Tom, how about that? You need to have minimum standards, and bedsits didn't fit those minimum standards.
No, I fully agree. I think it was 95% at the time the analysis was done. About, I think it's 2009, that was first mooted and came in February 2013. And they said at the time that 95% of the bedsits were substandard. So there was fundamentally a flaw in bedsits. But my argument, I think I would agree with Michael McDougall, is that you shouldn't have banned them unless you had a replacement. There was no plan B, and that was a fundamental problem. That was a plan A was to get rid of substandard accommodation, which nobody, I think, would disagree with. That's 100% right. But you have to have a plan B. You can't, in a period of housing crisis, delete one form of housing tenure that people have used for years without having an alternative for those people. So
okay.
Some of those people would have been made homeless.
Rory, how about that? There was no plan B.
I absolutely agree with Tom on that. Yeah, there was no plan B, and that was particularly for people who were living in them, which were those on low incomes, as you mentioned, single people. And now we have a huge issue, particularly, you know, the likes of Alone highlighted, older people, pensioners who are in homelessness, who are in precarious situations, who are couch surfing. The government didn't set out to see particularly that issue of one area is the, you know, older accommodation, that where do older people, in terms of retirees, pensioners who were renting, where did they retire to? How can they afford rents? And so absolutely he's right. There wasn't a plan B in place.
Do you have a view on co-living? Rory, that was kind of drummed out. There was a kind of a narrative at the time that it was a bad idea. Was that a mistake in hindsight, do you think, Rory?
Yeah, I do, because I think the type of accommodation that is delivered through that, and we can see it now, you know, absolutely, you know, rents 2,000, 2,500 for, you know, multiple shared accommodation. Again, you know, these aren't homes. People say, you know, professionals might want to live in them short term. But these aren't homes. And again, they have been, you can't do it anymore. And the issue, I think the concern is that we're shifting back to that again, that there's a call for, a deregulation in terms of apartment sizes. And we need to ensure that apartments...
Is co-living such a bad thing for young people?
Well, I think it was the former minister, Owen Murphy, described them as boutique, a bit like boutique hotels.
Yeah, he got hammered for that, but he was kind of right, though. Some of them were like boutique hotels. They were quite upmarket.
The word is niche. I think it's niche is the name of the developer. These are very not appropriate in terms of delivering apartments and places that people want to live in.
No, but
and again, they're not affordable. This is the core issue. We don't have affordable supply.
Well, we spoke a lot
housing.
About affordability. We're not speaking about that today. Tom, co-living, was that a mistake to get rid of that as well?
100%. And at the time, the minister asked his colleagues in the department to come up to analyse it, because he'd inherited from Owen Murphy. And Owen Murphy writes really well about it in his book. It's a particularly good book about running from office, where he describes the pressure he was under at the time and the backlash he got. And the minister asked his colleagues to come back with three scenarios. And none of them said delete and get rid of co-living. So it was just tweak it and do different things. But the minister decided to get rid of it. So he wasn't advised to get rid of it, but he got rid of it. And I think that was wrong. And niche is just the name of one of the providers, but there are plenty of providers. I mean, it's a bit futile picking on the name of a private provider as saying that encapsulates the whole system. It doesn't. Co-living is useful for people who are coming into this country. I think one of the phrases they use are digital nomads, like people who come from different countries who need somewhere to get a base to start off with. And the FDI that we need in this country has a big problem with the provision of housing. The IDA said it this week, that housing is one of the biggest factors they face. And they've got people who want to come into the country and they need a base to stay in for a while. And co-living does provide
okay.
that,
All right.
as for others.
Tom Phillips and Rory Hearn, thank you indeed for talking to me.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR
on News Talk.